Well, as I mentioned last week, over the next couple of weeks, we're doing some standalone sermons. And so what Pastor Brian and I are doing is we're following along with what is known as a pericope or the Lutheran lectionary. And they list passages of scripture that fall in line with what is happening in the church calendar. And it wasn't until Wednesday afternoon, Stephanie Tallman pointed this out to me, that I had picked the wrong passage for today, looked at the wrong calendar. Oops. But I had already done some studying and some preparation for today's message. So I'm like, oh, I'm just going to stick with the passage today. And it's a passage of scripture that I hope really encourages us this morning. But I came on staff here at Hope back in May of 2013. A few months after joining staff, my family and I, we joined together with some other small families here at Hope, and we joined a small group. And our plan was that we would gather together once a month, twice a month if we could, for a meal. And so we'd all have a meal together with our kids. And then after the meal, the kids would play, and then us adults, we would do a Bible study together. And it was our first time meeting, so it was September of 2013. I remember it was a beautiful afternoon. We're meeting at one of the family's homes, and my son Micah, who is now 7, he wasn't even 3 at the time, so just a little guy. And the kids are playing outside because it's a beautiful day before dinner, and the kids there had some scooters that they were going up and down on the driveway. And of course, Micah wants to be like the bigger kids, and so he wants to be on the scooter. And my job was to watch him because Amy was inside the house, and I kind of was, but dads, you know how that goes, right? One eye on the kid, one eye engaging in conversation with the other guys, and all of a sudden, I just hear this scream from Micah, and what had happened was he was on the scooter, and he fell off, and the handlebar was kind of sharp at the end, and it jammed up into his mouth, like really good, and so I get over to him, and he had a pretty big cut. I mean, there's a lot of blood, and Micah's our first, and so for Amy and I, it was kind of the first experience where our kids go through this much pain, and so we're thinking, what do we do? Do we take him to the hospital? Do we don't? And we decided to because the bleeding just wasn't stopping, and so we get to the emergency room. Thankfully, everything was okay. It was a deep cut, but he didn't need stitches. The teeth were okay, all of that. And so after a very expensive hour, thanks to our insurance, they let us go, and we went back to the Bible study, had a good time that evening. But seeing my son experience that amount of pain, as a dad, it's difficult. And for all of us who have loved ones, who've seen loved ones walk through difficulty, walk through pain, walk through suffering, many times it causes us deep pain. Now in today's text from Ephesians 3, the Apostle Paul is going to be talking about some trials and some difficulties he's going through as he follows Christ, as he shares the gospel message. And the church in Ephesus, whom he is writing to, they were concerned that over and over again, Paul has to go through all this suffering, all these trials. And so he writes to encourage them. He tells them not to lose heart. And he explains to them his willingness to suffer for Christ. Let's look at our text this morning. It's Ephesians 3, verses 1 through 13. If you have your Bibles, I would encourage you to follow along. And please stand this morning as I read God's word. Ephesians 3, verses 1 through 13. Paul writes this. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart. If you have your Bibles, I would encourage you to underline that. Not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. You may be seated. And so it's an interesting portion of scripture here because Paul is trying to unpack a lot of things. And he begins, he begins talking about suffering, and then he unpacks this idea of the mystery of the gospel. And I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time talking about that because last week's message was focused all on the gospel and this idea, it's not this idea, but this reality that in Christ we're set free from sin and death, that in Christ no condemnation stands against you and me. Now, apart from Christ, because of our sin, yeah, we're in trouble. Yes, there's consequences for us, but as we come to saving faith in Christ, we're set free. Our sins are forgiven, and we can have salvation both now and in the future as we await our eternal glory in heaven. And so what Paul is saying is this reality that saving faith is available through Jesus Christ. It is not just for the Jewish people. It is for all people. There's this debate going on. Is the gospel message only for Jews or is it for Gentiles? Gentiles meaning you and me as well. And Paul says, yep, it's for all people. And so he's reminding the church that the message of salvation is for all, regardless of background, ethnicity, and social status. That's what he means by how the mystery of the gospel is now being revealed. Now, here's what's interesting about these verses, and here's what I want us to see. Paul begins and he ends this section talking about his suffering and the trials that he is going through. And here's what I love about the Bible. It's the most honest book that's ever been written. And like our lives, the Bible just doesn't talk about suffering in one chapter or one book, but the theme of suffering is and difficulties, trials, is interwoven through many chapters and many books. And so the Apostle Paul, in the middle of talking about how the message of salvation is for all people, he speaks to his trials. He speaks to his difficulties. Again, Ephesians 3:1, he says that he is a prisoner of Jesus Christ. So he's in jail. He's being afflicted. And then he says in verse 13, I am suffering. So here Paul is talking about what it's like to experience difficulties, what it's like to experience trials, but not just in a clinical way. Rather, a very practical and pastoral way. And here's why I believe this text applies to you and me today. None of us, neither you nor me, are exempt from trials and difficulties that happen in life. Again, the Bible is honest and it says that suffering is real. Trials are real. They will come to God's people. Now, God doesn't cause suffering. We don't believe that. Evil, suffering, difficulty, sickness, pain, death are all a result of living in a fallen world. And there are no easy answers to the why. We all had Monday off because it was New Year's Day, so the church was closed on Monday. But Tuesday, we gathered back as staff, those of us who were around. And then Tuesday evening, we had a prayer time together. Or Tuesday evening, we also had elders meetings, or our elders meeting. And so at both those meetings, the staff and the elders, we spent time praying over the needs of the congregation. And there, many of us felt a burden as we talked through the different needs here of those who attend Hope, because many right now are experiencing some real hardships. If you read through our prayer lists that we send out on a weekly basis, you'll see that. Again, there are no easy answers. Yet the hope that we do have is that God promises to be with us. In the middle of difficulties, in the middle of trials, he enters into our pain. He gives us the grace, the strength we need to endure as we seek to follow him. And we'll see that in our scripture for this morning. And so here's what I want to do. I want to focus on three lessons that Paul learned as he walked through difficulties, as he walked through trials in life. And I believe these lessons really apply to us today. So the first one is this: how can I share Christ in the middle of difficulties, in the middle of trials? How can I use that experience to share Christ? Now, in Paul, we see that even in the middle of the suffering of him being in jail, he wanted the message of salvation in Christ to be known and to be shared. Again, the first couple of verses of Ephesians 3. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you. Now, what's amazing to think is that Paul's in prison, not because he did anything wrong, but because he wouldn't stop talking about Jesus. And even after he's in prison, even after the trials and difficulties, he continues to preach about Christ. And again, in verses 4 through 6, Paul is talking about how the gospel is available to all people, Jew and Gentile alike. Now, prior to him becoming a Christian, Paul hated the Gentiles. These were non-Jews, so he was in no way empathetic or compassionate towards those who didn't share his racial, ethnic, or religious heritage. And then he meets Jesus, and everything changes, and he realizes, wait, it's not about Jew or Gentile, it's about Jesus. And I believe that Paul is saying that even as I'm suffering, even as I'm going through difficulties, I want people to know the gospel message. And we see this reflected in Paul's life. In Acts 16, he and Silas are in prison because they were preaching about Jesus. And so they're singing worship songs and earthquake breaks out that God brings. They're set free. And through all that, Paul shares the gospel message with one of the soldiers who was keeping them captive. And Paul's goal was to faithfully be a servant according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to him. We see that in verse 7. So at the forefront of Paul's mind, as he is in prison, as he is going through trials and difficulties, is this thought: how can I help other people? How can I serve others? How can I introduce Jesus to other people? That is my goal, Paul says. That's the responsibility I have been given as a servant of Christ. How about us? Here's my question for us this morning. How can we use trials? How can we use difficulties in life to help others come to know Jesus? Some of you may remember the story of Martin Burnham. He and his wife, Gracia, were missionaries to the Philippines. And in 2001, they were captured by a terrorist group, and they were held captive for 376 days. And they used that very difficult experience to be a reflection of Christ to their captors. And here's part of their story. Though the Burnhams were increasingly weak and malnourished, when relief agencies managed to get food packages to them, they shared their food with their captors for their sakes. At one point, Martin even repaired a satellite phone for his captors. He said to his wife, "The Bible says, serve the Lord with gladness. Let's go all the way. Let's serve him all the way with gladness." The evidence of that resolve became apparent, even to his captors who would debate about who would chain him every night. Each hated to be the one to chain him because every night he would thank them. And over again in the evenings, Martin would patiently explain the gospel to his captors. He was living for them and viewed his situation as a calling of God to minister the mysteries of the gospel to these lost souls. Hope Church, I pray that would be our attitude as we walk through trials, as we walk through difficulties. Jesus, regardless of what happens, regardless of how difficult things get, regardless of how long this season is, may my life, may my actions be a reflection of you so that others may see you and come to know you as their Lord and Savior. The second lesson we learn from Paul, as we walk through difficulties and trials, is to ask this: how is God growing me? How is God growing me? Again, in verse 7 through 9, we see that as Paul is in prison, as he is engaged in ministry, he is also growing. He is maturing in his walk with Christ. We see Paul's humility. Verse 8, he says, "I'm the very least of all the saints." Now, that was not mock humility, but it was his honest assessment of himself. He's not boasting. He says, "My ministry is by the grace of God." And so we see Paul allowing God to grow and to strengthen his faith. Paul recognizes that he's a sinner, that he needs the grace of God, and that he's no better than anyone else. And he sees himself in light of his Savior. Matthew Kratz, he writes this, and I put this quote down for us: "Paul had such an unusually clear comprehension of God's righteousness. He also had an unusually clear understanding of how far short he himself fell of that righteousness. To the end of his life, he considered himself the foremost of sinners and was overwhelmed by his sense of unworthiness. That attitude does not limit a person's service, but rather is the key to their usefulness." And so Paul allowed God to use the trials, the difficulties to mold and shape him more and more into the image of Jesus. And the more trials, the more difficulties he went through, the more dependent he became on God. I love what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 12:9. He says this, "But he," that's God, "said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." As we face trials, as we face difficulties, are we allowing Jesus to mold and to shape us more and more into his image? Or are we allowing the hardships? Are we allowing the difficulties to embitter us and to pull us further away from Christ? I came across a story that a pastor shared about a church member and how God used the difficulties in his life to draw him closer to Christ. And here's what the pastor writes. "I was talking to a husband recently, and he said that my wife and I have had a succession of miscarriages, and it's devastating because we want to be parents. The pastor said that they're a lovely couple, and the husband continued, "But the fact that God is a father and Christ is the Son of God and that he died and that our father lost his son," he said, "I've never felt like I do now." And that husband, because of what he's been through, he understands the heart of God in a new way. He is growing through the difficult season he's walked through. And I know that that experience of that couple can't even compare to what some of you have experienced or are experiencing right now. But again, I believe the question for us is, are we allowing the trials and difficulties of life to draw us closer to Jesus? And I don't want to make light of any difficulties, any trials, or any suffering some of you may be experiencing, but please know this, that God can use any situation to draw us nearer to him and to mold us and to shape us more and more into whom he's called us to be. Romans 8:28, we all love that promise, but it's about the good things that God wants to do in us and how he can take the evil and make it good. And Pastor Mark Driscoll, he writes about this in conjunction with Romans 8:28 and with what is happening with Paul. And I want to put this quote up on the screens. He says, "God can actually use the hardest parts of our life to be the sweetest parts of our life. He can use the most painful parts of our story to be the most encouraging parts of our story for someone else." That is the grace. That is the mercy. That is the love of God, is it not? That he can take the most difficult situations and use them for our good and his glory. And I believe that some of you, because of what you have gone through, because of what you've experienced, you can be a great voice of hope and encouragement to others who are suffering. Again, that is part of the good that God is working in all things. And if I can just encourage us in one way here as we think about God molding us and shaping us and bringing good out of difficulties, as you walk through trials, as you walk through hardships, I would encourage us as a church, be honest. Be honest. True or false? Paul is honest in these verses. True or false? True. I'm in prison and I'm suffering, okay? Doesn't get much more honest than that. And I believe it's good to be honest. And I would encourage you, be honest with God, but also be honest with his people. I believe some of us in church, we don't want to burden anyone with anything. We don't want to share anything. And we think, well, I need to be self-sufficient. I can handle this. I think one of the worst things we can do when we're walking through trials, when we're walking through difficulties, is to try and be self-sufficient. Again, 2 Corinthians 12:9. God's power is made perfect in weakness. We need his grace. We need his strength, his courage at work in us to help us endure life's difficulties. But I believe one of the greatest gifts he gives us as we walk through trials is the gift of other believers who can come beside us, who can encourage us, who can help us when we feel down. I know over the last few years, I've shared a lot about seminary. It's because it's been my life for the last 3.5 years. And I began in the fall of 2014, October of 2014. And when I began, I had no idea how long the season would be, how draining it would be at times, how taxing it would be on me and my family. And let me say this, if it weren't for God's people, if it wasn't for Pastor Brent Olson, Pastor Gene and Bev, Pastor John, others of you here who have constantly said, Ben, it's worth it. We've been there. It's worth it. Man, there are so many nights I just wanted to quit. I just wanted to say it's not worth it. If it was not for this church, for my small group, my family, others of you coming alongside and just encouraging me along the way, I probably wouldn't have been where I am now. And I'm 8 weeks from finishing, and I give God all the glory, all the praise for that. But we need, church, we need the help. We need the encouragement of other people as we walk through trials, as we walk through difficulties. So I would plead with you as a pastor here, be honest. Be honest. Please don't play the I can handle this on my own game. Don't play that. Listen, you have a church who loves you. A church who wants to come alongside you and be a help and encouragement to you. I believe the self-sufficiency is a thing of the enemy. I really do. That I can do it, that I can handle it on my own, that I have enough strength. No, no. We need the help of God. We need the help of his people as we walk through trials, as we walk through difficulties. The last lesson for us this morning that we see in this text is this. Do not lose heart. Do not lose heart. And Paul writes this in verse 13, so I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. Now, Paul closes out this section by telling the believers in Ephesus to place their confidence, to place their trust in God, and to not lose heart over difficulties and trials that come. Now, does this text say, I don't want you to grieve? No. Does it say, I don't want you to be sad? No. Does it say, I don't want you to talk about what is going on? No. All those things are good. It's okay to be sad. It's okay to grieve. We need to be honest and to talk about it. But Paul says, don't lose heart. And to lose heart is this idea of becoming discouraged. It means you want to give up and say, what's the point? It's all going to end bad in the end. God's not really on my side. He's not for me. And Paul says, please. Please don't lose heart. And the reason why we don't have to lose heart is that we know that God is near. Even in the middle of difficulties, even in the middle of pain, he is near and he is for us. Last week, as we talked about Romans 8, we were reminded of how Jesus suffered for us and how he died the most horrific death imaginable so that we could experience life through a relationship with him. And I think as we're walking through difficulties, as we're walking through trials, we need to remember that in him is our real hope. Regardless of the pain, regardless of the difficulties, in Christ we're free from sin and eternal death. That is one of the reasons why we don't lose hope and we don't lose heart. But Paul also writes this at the end of Romans 8. It's this wonderful promise, verses 38 and 39. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I love what the Lutheran Study Bible says on this passage. I put this quote up for us. Christ's death, his resurrection, and exaltation at God's right hand guarantees, and we need to remember that, in Christ, it guarantees our victory over anything and everything that would separate us from his love. When following Christ brings distress, and just let me say, if you're a Christ follower, distress at times will happen in your life. It's written in the book. We're not promised a pain-free life. So when following Christ brings distress, we sometimes distance ourselves from him, but Christ never. He never draws back from us. As we walk through difficulties, As we walk through trials, big or small, we can be assured that God is with us, that he is near. Does God always give us an answer? No. But he gives us the gift of his presence. If you've ever walked through trials, if you've ever walked through difficulties before, it is an amazing gift, that gift of his presence. And one final reason why we don't lose heart is because Jesus has gone before us and he understands what we're experiencing. One pastor said it like this, and I'll close with this. He writes, "Remember, Jesus suffered the most. He suffered horrifically, he suffered unjustly, and he suffered righteously. And the good news is that Jesus will bring all suffering to an end." And we need to remember that. That when Jesus comes, again, if we're in Christ, he's gonna restore, he's gonna redeem all that is broken in this world. And for those of us who believe in him, there'll be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more suffering, because he's going to make all things new. As we're walking through difficulties, at times we need to hold on to that promise that this isn't the end for you and for me. And the pastor continues, "In a world that's filled with suffering, we don't have a God who's immune from it and separated from it. Please hear this. Rather, he enters into it. He tastes it. He experiences it. And he identifies with us in the midst of it." Listen, no matter what season you currently are in, no matter what difficulties may come your way, please remember this. Jesus knows. He's with you. He loves you. He grieves with you. And he's been where you have been. Back a few years ago when my son Micah fell off that scooter and banged up his mouth pretty good, you know, my reaction wasn't to go up to him and to say, "Micah, get up, go inside, clean yourself up. You fix this." No. What did I do? I mean, he wasn't even three. I run over to him. I pick him up. I mean, I had blood all over my shirt. I didn't care. I entered into his pain as a father. And I brought whatever comfort I could in that moment. And scripture tells us that we have a perfectly heavenly father who loves us, who grieves with us, who enters into our pain. And who gives us the strength, the grace, the mercy we need to endure as we seek to follow him. And that is why we have hope. That is why we don't lose heart. Let's pray this morning. Father, once again, I'm just grateful for the promises from your word. Your promises that are available to each and every one of us. And Lord, I pray for those right now who are going through a difficult experience, maybe who are just trying to be self-sufficient. Lord, would you help them to be honest? Would you help them to be honest with you? I thank you that you can handle our emotions, you can handle our pain, you can handle our questioning. And Father, you promise to give us what we need in our time of need. And so, Father, I pray that you would just surround those who are going through difficult experiences this morning. Father, help them to see you in a new light. I pray that we would allow you to continue to mold and shape us into whom you've called us to be. And Father, for us as a church body, I pray that we would continually come around those who are going through difficult experiences. May we not let the busyness of life to pull us away from that. But may we ask questions and seek ways to help, to serve one another, to point each other to Christ in the middle of our difficulties. And Jesus, we're grateful that you're near. We're grateful that you're with us. We're grateful that you hold us in the palm of your hand. So may we remember that this morning, that as we walk through difficulties, as you walk through trials, you're right next to us, giving us the strength, the grace, the mercy we need. Father, we love you. Pray that we would just continue to surrender to you and the work you want to do in and through us. We pray this in your name. Amen. Amen.